Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And we will take it away. Thank you very much. And welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you. And happy, let's add a few things in here. Merry Christmas. Happy soon-to-be New Year. We're coming to you right at the very end of 2025. And kind of capping off what happened in that year and looking ahead to a couple of days from now when it's 2026. And actually, I guess tomorrow it'll be 2026. And what's going to happen there as the PGA Tour gets their official start at, as always, the Sony Open in Hawaii. That'll be the middle of January, the 15th through the 18th. And then the tour shuts down for a while because my birthday comes right after that. And the whole tour shuts down for the for my birthday. And then they come back in action and stay in Hawaii and on and on. So again, thanks for being with us. Frank Bassett in the National Studios to talk about all things golf related and whatever else hits his crazy mind. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing great. Flags at half staff for your birthday?
Yes.
What? Okay.
What? You didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They decided that on the schedule this year that they're going to have a little pause for Tim's birthday.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Well, needless to say, it's been a great Christmas for us here in Nashville. And
good.
And it's going to be a good New Year's. It doesn't happen tomorrow, though. It happens 2 days from now. Well, maybe tomorrow night at 12:00.
Yeah, we'll miss it by a second.
By a second.
By the way, can I throw you a crazy stat?
Yeah, yeah.
And it has nothing to do with anything other than we will talk about. You and I were talking in the pre-show here about earnings, you know, and how much money these guys make, and what Tiger made versus what Byron Nelson and all the old timers make. And it's not a good indicator of who's the best golfer of all time because the numbers are so skewed by what people are making and what sponsors are paying,
right?
Era to era, right? So Nicholas, we don't know, but Nicholas made like $7 million in his career. You know, Arnie probably less than that. Has nothing to do with how good they are. But anyway, so in the numbers game, get a load of this, Frank. And this comes as people are so commonly referred to as billionaires. You know, this billionaire doing that, and this billionaire, and this billionaire. How many, just to give you an idea of the difference between a lot of money and crazy amounts of money, right? We're talking Tiger's probably earned over $1 billion in his career, golf-wise and everything. How many days is a million seconds? A million seconds.
Oh, God, I skipped that class at Ole Miss.
I get it. Just throw a number out. How many days you think a million?
A million seconds, 60 seconds in a minute. 60 minutes an hour. 3,000.
You think it'd be 3,000 days?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's 11 days.
Okay.
So 11 days.
I told you I didn't go to class.
Seconds. I get it.
Eleven days is a million seconds.
A million seconds is 11 days, okay? But just give it a reference here. Now you go to a billion seconds. So a million seconds is 11 days. How many days is a billion seconds?
1,100.
You think it's 1,100 days?
I have no idea.
No. 33 years.
33 years?
33 years versus 11 days. The difference between a million seconds
and a billion seconds. Oh, 1,000 million is a billion. So.
Yeah. So think of that in dollars. God. If you made $1 million, that's pretty good, right?
Not anymore.
$1 million.
Not anymore. That's in your wallet.
It's jumping.
It's in your wallet, not mine. You
know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So a million, think about that in dollars. That's a million. For the Elon Musks of the world and those guys that make billions, 11 days to 33 years is the difference in seconds. Yeah. It's crazy how much money that
How many be, trillionaires right? are there in the world?
Well, you know, they say that the LIV Tour is funded by some trillionaires, although they never divulge how much money Saudi royal family
fund,
has.
Yeah.
But yeah, Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, just over $500 billion.
Yeah. So
can't even calculate that one. And on
how did he get all that money?
Yeah, I know.
How did
stock
he get
and all this
all
stuff.
That
They'll
money.
Act like, you know, well, but is it liquid? And you're like, who cares? He calls up a broker and sells, you know, X number of shares, and he's got $100 million in his pocket tomorrow.
Yeah.
So
if we want to eat, we have to go sell a Rolex. You know, I mean, come on.
Liquid.
What the hell? That's great. Anyway. By the way, talking about billionaires, congratulations to a Hendersonville, Tennessee girl right here in our backyard where Bluegrass Country Club is. I'm a member there. It's Nashville, same thing, suburb. Congratulations to Taylor Swift. She's now a billionaire.
Is she really? Well, I guess that makes sense. Her tour, made
along
like
with
or something,
along
it?
With Beyonce.
Yep.
Unbelievable. We're in the wrong business. We should have been born. No, I can't go there.
Yeah, well.
Whatever.
Well, first I'd have to
real,
say.
Real okay, talent. Real talent.
Kind of counts me out there.
Yeah.
But I will say this, just in that little segment they're throwing at me, is from what I've heard, don't know anything, but from what I've heard, read, it seems like Taylor Swift has been very, very generous with all the money she's made. But she's done very well with her staff, her crew, the people that helped her make her music and tour and everything. She was giving millions of dollars in bonuses to them for her tour. So good for her.
Yeah, good for her. She just, at the football game, the Kansas City game, was it Christmas Day? Was that the Christmas Day Kansas City game? Yeah.
Yep.
She was walking around the stadium.
Handing out money?
Handing, just saying, Merry Christmas, thanks for working on Christmas, to workers, like serving burgers and dogs and drinks. Slide them $1,000, $600, $500, just cash, just put them in their hand. Here, thank you, and just slapped it in their hands.
See, good parenting. Her parents should be proud. Right?
Yeah, no, she's a good girl. Right. I mean, she's a nice young lady. She dated my nephew by marriage.
Oh.
Yeah, she did at one time. Idiot dumped her. Really?
And she wrote a song about it, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure he's in there, one of the first ones.
Yeah, idiot.
What an idiot. Anyway,
idiot.
Total idiot. I mean, duh. Dumb and dumber.
All right, so,
hey, anyway, we want to wish somebody a very special birthday today.
Who's that?
Well, you know. Happy birthday to Mr. Eldridge Woods. He's 50 years old today.
Mr. Tiger.
Yep, Tiger's 50.
He's now ready to play with the old guys.
Get in that golf cart and get out there. But he's not ready yet.
Moving back to those white tees, or moving up to those white tees.
Can you imagine if he's in good health, what he could do on the PGA Tour Champions and what he would bring to that tour?
Yeah.
Good Lord. It would be overwhelming.
He still moves the needle, right? I mean,
if
Tiger does anything. And by the way, I do enjoy the video game, if you will. Was it a TLC? Not TLC, TRG, TRW, the indoor golf event.
Well, now that you've slaughtered a possible advertiser.
I know. I like it. I don't even know the name of it.
TGL. Or TLG. What? Now, see, you've gotten me confused now.
Thank you. Oh, it's my fault.
Well, congratulations to Billy Horschel, okay? Let's just leave it at that. He went out last season with a long putt for the win. And he won the first match of this season with the long putt for the win.
Oh,
for his team. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
Horschel beat New York. So
yeah,
great.
I think that's a fun event. It's kind of cool, kind of different. TGL is the name of it.
Yes, TGL.
So I think that's fine. So Tiger's, you know, still stays involved in what's going on.
They've gotten the bugs worked out. Remember, they had a lot of little bugs in that software, but that was the first year was the test to get that worked out. And it was fun to watch the other night.
One of the bugs was Tiger saying one of the most embarrassing moments of his golf life was trying to figure out what exactly yardage he was supposed to hit. And if you remember, his teammates were Kistner and Tom Kim.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah,
anyway,
it was,
and they had a shot, and it was like 99 yards.
Yeah,
and they said, or 90 yards, and they said, Tiger goes, how far, right? Because you take turns, and it was his shot. So okay, what'd you leave me with? And they said 90, because as a lot of golfers that play a lot of golf, if it's an obvious thing, you cut out the 100 part.
Right.
So if you're 175, you just kind of go 75. He says 90, and he hits a wedge, and it's 190 that he has to hit, and he hits a wedge, and they're looking at each other going, did he just hit wedge? And he looks at them because he comes up 80 yards short, and he looks at them, and he goes, 190, Tiger, 190. And he goes, oh, my God, I can't believe that. Because they're like, well, of course you can look and see it's not 90 yards. It's 190. You know, they think.
Well, it's.
We cut out the one part. He goes, that's one of the most embarrassing things I've ever done.
But it was Horschel was fun. He didn't do the gator chomp like he did. Yeah. Remember a couple of years ago when he won the tour championship, and on the 18th green, he did the gator chomp in Atlanta.
In Georgia.
Oh God, they booed him. They booed him off the green. I mean, I was there.
I gotta like a guy who does that. And
I went up to him afterwards
later.
I said, Billy, you know, you could have said hotty toddy or go rebels. He said, it would have been better, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So, Yeah. Anyway, speaking of the end of this year, it Scottie Scheffler is still our man. I mean, he's still got it. He's still playing great golf, and
again,
and he's not going to have the slow start. It doesn't look like that he had last year, this year, whatever. With the hopefully he stayed away from the wine glasses.
The pasta injury?
Yeah, whatever it was.
He was making pasta, and he used an upside-down wine glass. He had to kind of cut out some pasta, and he broke the stem.
Well, you don't push it down from the – you invert a wine glass that's a stemmed glass. You don't push it down from the top at that point.
Well,
you push it down
harder,
by the – yeah, and it broke off.
He learned that while the stem was sticking in his hand going, yeah, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, this isn't good.
Honey, can you
damn it, this hurt.
I know.
Call 911. Call 911.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, yeah, he should have an advantage of not having to mess with that. By the way, you'd mentioned Billy Horschel. Did he lose his tour card? I believe he did. Did he not? Remember, they cut it from 125 that secure their card after the season to 100, right? They cut 25 guys
right.
out of securing the tour card, kind of the guarantee for next year. So after just a month ago or so, or whenever they finished qualifying and Q school and everything else, they're down to, they got 100. Now a guy like Billy Horschel will get invitations and all that kind of stuff, and he can earn
sponsors.
But I think he was like in the 130s or something like that, you know, when they finally made the final 100 cut. So it's gotten even more exclusive. Are you for that they're kind of making it now harder and harder?
I'm not. I'm not. I'm looking too, just as fast as I can.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't. It's coming up. Come on. Slow, dang computer. Yeah. I
mean, there are a lot of different variables as far as who's on the tour. I mean, who has a card? And again, if you're a veteran like Horschel who's had his card for 20 years, it's kind of a slow trickle. You don't just all of a sudden have to play Korn Ferry or don't. You get access, and you can still, because guys kind of bounce up and down sometimes. But as far as the guarantee that I get into everything, right? The top 100. I'm pretty positive he, Kuchar, you know, some other guys that are veterans, 40 plus year old guys, did not make it. And so now they've, I think even Snedeker was trying, although he's like in the 160s, I think now or something like that, his FedEx Cup points, were trying, right, to catch lightning in a bottle and get in the top 100. But all those guys will get some access, and they'll have to, you know, get top 10s, top 20s, whatever, to get some points to kind of keep playing on the tour. But they don't get access to, they don't get invited to every tournament, and they certainly don't get into the signature tournaments, the big money tournaments. So that part, again, has become the exclusive thing.
No. Billy Horschel's 53. No.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Maybe I was thinking of Kuchar then. I'm sorry.
I don't remember seeing that. He wouldn't have been smiling as much on Tiger's Golf League.
That does seem to make sense, because I remember for Ryder Cup, which is not that long ago, I was thinking a guy like Billy Horschel didn't make it on points because he wasn't top 10 or top 20, but he was close enough that I thought, and I liked his grit and everything, but I think at that time he was in the 40s, and in fact, a couple points. Yeah. So I guess you're right. Yeah.
Reason I saw that is I started scanning way down past 100. I backed up. Jordan Spieth, 80.
Yeah.
Ricky Fowler's 86.
Yeah. So that's what happens. And I understand that's the game, right? And there's young guys pushing all the time, and it makes you have to be better. So that's why I've said ad nauseum, Jordan, make some changes. You keep doing the same thing, dude, and look, all you're doing is falling in the standings. And you just keep thinking somehow you're miraculously going to be 2015 again and make every putt, and it's not happening. So you better change something. And I don't know if he's ever going to catch on to that or not, or he's going to find himself as one of these guys that has all these majors and sponsors and everything else and is outside of the top 100. And hoping to get invited to tournaments.
Have you run into he or his family lately?
No, haven't seen him
lately in the coffee shop.
He stays behind
the
gate. I go past the gate.
You can get past the gate.
I go. I look through the gate. I yell his name, but I don't get any response. I just get security coming out saying, "Sir, you're gonna have to leave. We've had enough of you."
Yeah, right.
Why do you keep coming by?
Oh my gosh. Well, listen. Let's.
Jordan.
I want to talk. I want to ask a question.
Okay.
Tiger's best year is, by most people, will say that it was 2000 when he won 9 tournaments.
Right.
Right. Was that his best year?
I think that is what everybody, now you might come up with, give me some stats to change that. But I think if you ask or you ever read something about it, then universally it seems like
2000, he led in all these categories, not only wins and money, but he also led in scoring average and putts per game and all that stuff. Percentage of fairways hit. He was like on fire, unbeatable. And so I think they bring, you know, as that being, and that was just kind of his golden from about 99 to 2005. He was kind of unbeatable. We talked about, he went 7 years without missing a cut, which is unheard of. Nobody will ever come. Nobody comes close to that now. I mean, even a Scottie Scheffler would be lucky to go a season without missing a cut, because you're just going to have injury. You're going to have something happen, right? You're not going to play well on one weekend. He went 7 years.
Yeah, no.
Of a C game, a D game, an A game, whatever game he had, it was enough to get him into the weekend every time.
Well, I guess my point about that is, I would say 2000, 2001 combined is his best run, because that's the Tiger Slam. That's, you know, in 2000, he won the U.S. Open, the Open Championship, the PGA Championship. Then he won, and this is what people don't talk about, the Masters in 2001 and the Players' Championship also in 2001. So he won all five of what's considered the biggest tournaments in golf. All five in a row.
The best fields, the hardest the hardest to win.
Yeah,
he had
so
all
that's,
five trophies.
That's it. So combine it. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, still not the official Grand Slam.
What was the Grand Slam, though? In the old days, the Grand Slam with Bobby Jones won included the amateurs.
Right.
So
they're all in a calendar year.
The modern Grand Slam, in the calendar year.
So modern, you could do it all in one calendar year, starting with the Masters, and then win all of them in 2026. That's what Scottie's going for. I don't know if it certainly could happen, but don't know if that's ever going to happen. And Tiger just did it kind of a little bit in reverse. He started with the Open, and then he ran the table and got all the way to the next
U.S. Open, the Open Championship,
the Masters, the PGA. And so he was unbelievably dominant. But now, you know, he had his, just to give people an update, he had another Achilles surgery. No, it was a back surgery. His last was a back surgery, which is pretty recent, November. So he's still out of commission as far as really, really playing competitive golf. And the question is, and he had an Achilles surgery back in, I believe it was May. So that's two in the calendar year of 25, and which just seems like it's every year now. That's what he's going through. When will his body, and if he does play in the Champions Tour, you're allowed to ride a cart. Will he do that? You know, there's some stigma still with that. I think John Daly does sometimes, because he says he has problems with his legs and his circulation, different things. But I don't think John Daly cares.
He just wants to stay close to the cooler.
It doesn't matter what John, John Daly would do it just to piss people off. But there aren't too many guys that ride a cart. Like even Bernhardt, who's the oldest guy on the tour, is 67. He's 17 years older than Tiger. Well, he doesn't ride a cart.
But Langer's hell. I mean, he's a workout freak. He's a health nut.
He's in better shape than Tiger, probably.
Yes, I'm sure he is. There's no doubt. Body-wise, hey, I still want to go back, though. Let's back up a minute.
Okay.
When you look at what he did in 2000, 2001 together, combining those. So let's start with, he wins the Mercedes, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. This is 2000. He wins Bay Hill and Memorial. Also, and the NEC World Golf Championships in 2000, on top of the Open, the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
In 2001, what does he do? Well, he wins Bay Hill again. He wins the Players' Championship, of course. He wins the Masters. He wins the Memorial again and the NEC Championship again. NEC Invitational, World Golf Championships again. So look at he back-to-back, on top of winning the Tiger Slam, look at the back-to-back tournaments he won, some of the toughest tournaments to play.
Right.
And Bay Hill undoubtedly is probably one of the most difficult, because that dang golf course, the way they set it up is just absolutely brutal.
He won that, I think he won that five times, did he not?
Yes, he has won there, I believe, five times.
He's won a lot of these tournaments multiple times. To get to 82, you obviously don't win just one time.
Well, then he goes back in 2002 and wins Bay Hill, the Masters, the U.S. Open, and the World Golf Championships, American Express Championship.
Yeah.
I mean... So, and then he goes back in three and wins the World Golf Championship at Accenture. He wins Bay Hill again. I mean, World Golf Championships American Express again. I mean, that's just an unbelievable run. In that period of time, 2000 to 2003, really, or 2005, four was a bust. You know, that was a surgery year. So, but I mean, he just won all the biggest tournaments.
I think the difference, too, is for a guy like that, and maybe Scottie now, who's certainly being compared to him, and then the only other guy other than Tiger to win four straight Player of the Year awards, because there's guys that come and go. We mentioned Spieth, but, I mean, Justin Thomas and Rory's and different guys have a phenomenal year, maybe two, but that's about it. And they kind of dip and they don't go away, but they don't have the same level. And Tiger kind of stayed at that level. I think a lot of it, as every golf instructor tells you, is between your ears, right? It's not so, I think there are a lot of guys that have talent and maybe not as much talent as Tiger, but maybe pretty close to be able to do that. I think the difference is that Tiger always believed he was better than everybody else and he could beat everybody else. And as we remember back in those days, Tiger was not known as the most affable guy. He wasn't known as getting along with everybody else on tour. Not that he was a jerk, but he just was like, business. I'm doing my thing. He was very Ben Hogan about that. And I think that served him well because he knew he had to beat you, right? And it's like, I'm not trying to be your buddy. I'm not trying to get a dinner date for tonight when we're done playing, like a lot of the guys do today.
Well, he wanted to annihilate you. He didn't want to beat you. He wanted to beat you by 10, not by 1.
And he put his and just like at the U.S. Open at Pebble and at the Masters, if he's up by 6, he wants to go up by 8 or 9 or 10. A lot of guys now kind of just cruise in. And up by 6, I win by 2. It's fine. I still win. He always wanted to put his foot on your throat. And so I think that was, to me, the difference with Tiger. And he also hit shots when we all know you have to have the confidence. If you're trying to hit a draw over a pond to a pin that's back on all these things, you got to really hit a perfect shot almost and know that you can hit that shot. And I think he had that in his head that I got that shot. I can hit that. And you have to put it over the lake. And you're like, well, why would I go over the lake? It's the worst thing to do because I know it's going to draw around that lake and over that tree. And so I think that confidence that Tiger had was certainly what set him apart from everybody else, because there have been phenomenally talented golfers going back to Johnny Miller and way before then that had the game down and were really, really
Johnny Miller, good, very, very underrated golfer too.
I mean, skilled ball strikers and could do everything. But I think at different times they had a lack of confidence, right? Yeah. That you're just kind of, I just don't know if I can do this. I don't. And then you have a bad round. It leads to another bad round or a tournament. I think Tiger, I mean, the only way you can make 7 straight years of cuts is pretty much knowing I'm really good, and I know I can hit almost every shot that I need to hit, and I'm going to go for it. I don't have to lay up if I don't need, you know, that kind of stuff. And I don't know if we're seeing that again. I mean, maybe Scotty, you know, Scotty hits his shots, and nothing seems to faze him. He gets a bogey, and he seems to always come back with a birdie and eagles and makes up for it right away. I think we're lucky. We've seen you and I are old guys, Count Nicholas, you know, three phenomenal golfers that might be historic golfers if Scotty continues kind of doing what he's doing. Scotty's already at, is he not in the 20, 25 wins now or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, Rory's got, I think, 19 or 20. He's already passed Rory, certainly passed Spieth and Justin, all those other guys that are his age or even older. So I don't know. I mean, can he get to 70? Seems like a lot of golf, but maybe he can. I mean, the way he's going, winning 5, 6, 7 times a year. Oh, all he has to do is do it for another 10 years. He'll be fine. Yeah, I think we're lucky. I mean, we get to see guys like Tiger and Scotty and not have a real dip in the talent pool. Guys are getting younger too, aren't they, Frank?
Yes, they are. They're coming out of school. You know, the AJGA is a pretty substantial training spot for the kids. And then they go into school and they have a level of instruction and a level of discipline, a level of
equipment,
equipment, the trainers, the facilities that we never had. I mean,
if you go to a good school,
here's some sawed-off golf clubs because you're a little shorter. Just we cut them down, go play them. Well, it changes everything about the club. You know that.
Well, I mean, if you go to SEC schools, Ole Miss and Alabama and Georgia and Texas and Oklahoma State, you go to those schools. They have the utmost in equipment and facility. I mean, you might as well be a pro, right? Everything is there. So when you come out of those schools, and it doesn't have to be that level, but certainly those guys, they are ready to go. They're pretty much professionals, right?
Scotty has 19 tour wins, by the way.
Scotty has 19?
19 PGA tour wins.
Thought he had more than that.
So, he won 6 times in 2025.
Okay.
17 top tens and, you know, one of those things.
And he normally seals the deal, too. That's the other thing about Scotty. Right, he doesn't blow a lot. I mean, we've seen a lot of guys that have leads or do different things. Scotty, if he's got the lead, kind of like with Tiger, as Ernie always would say, we're all playing for second. You know, Tiger is playing in a tournament, and certainly if
they don't feel that way now, Tim. These guys don't feel that they're playing for second with Scotty. They think
I don't think so. I think
they can win on any given day.
Yeah, I mean, I think they acknowledge how good he is, and you can't deny the numbers of what he's done. But I think a lot of them. And I think, you know, even Ernie said that probably a little bit tongue in cheek, because certainly everybody, Ernie Els is a very, very good golfer.
Incredible golfer.
And thought, yeah, I can always, but yeah. There is a part of you that goes, you know, the guy just doesn't back up. Yeah. And if he's got a lead, it's, I'm going to either have to make four straight birdies to kind of catch him more, because Tiger's not coming backwards. And
yeah,
Scotty's kind of the same way.
Scotty's already at almost $100 million in earnings, 99,453.
Yeah. So he's technically he's $20 million behind Tiger.
Yeah.
So he'll pass Tiger this year.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Probably easily. Which certainly is not, again, not an indication of, well, see, he's better. He won more money.
Well, and obviously, I'd like to know what his Nike deal looks like, because that's the only logo he wears.
Yeah.
That's it, baby.
And you pay for that exclusivity.
Yes,
right?
I'm sure.
Hey, don't put any AT&T on there. Don't put any of this other stuff on there. Okay, what's that going to cost?
You know, I saw an interesting interview. I don't know if you saw this or not. So don't let me go too far into it if you've seen it, but... And folks, this is just a conversation. You know, it's the end of the season, so bear with us. Monster. Remember when Tiger went to Monster Drinks as a sponsor?
Yep, I do.
Right when he did that, within just a short amount of time, very, very short amount of time, weeks, whatever, he takes too many sleeping pills or whatever, gets up to go somewhere, and gets pulled over. And that's when that infamous... In Orlando, that infamous arrest picture of him comes out looking like he's been on a 17-week drunk.
Right.
And the CEO of Monster, the guy who signed him, was called in by the CEO, and he said, well, I guess we're going to have to drop him. And the CEO said, what do you mean drop him? We need to stand by our man right now. He needs us. We're going to stand by him. Tiger never forgot that. So when his contract came up with Monster, and you know who his... manager is, one of the toughest guys in the world, right?
That's one way to put it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to be nice. Okay. It's the season. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You're feeling Santa.
Yeah, very.
Okay.
Anyway, he goes in, and the CEO says, okay, well, we know, just tell us the number. What do we have to do? What do we have to do? Because we know you're going to hit us hard.
Right.
And he said, Tiger told me to come in here and tell you, you give me the number, and he said, you ask you for the number, you give it to me, and I take it, whatever it is, because you stood by him, and he's dedicated to you. That says a lot for Tiger Woods.
And for the company. I think that's good.
And for the company.
Today's cancel culture.
For Monster,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
When everybody's ready to dump everybody
fast. Isn't that cool? I wish I could state that verbatim how it was said, but if you have a chance, check out, you know, look it up on YouTube, whatever, folks, and it's a very interesting kind of a feel-good interview.
Well, it is a good thing, because if I'm not mistaken, when all that was happening, it was kind of in the midst of a lot of the downswing of Tiger, right?
It was.
A lot of stuff going on. And so I'm sure he needed a friend, you know, whether it's a corporate friend or a real friend at that time. But that also kind of speaks to, you know, did Tiger a lot of his problems were self-inflicted, but also, from the friendship standpoint, you know, you go back to Hank Haney and the book that Haney wrote about his time with Tiger.
Yes.
Was very much about, I mean, the technical part and all this other stuff, but there was certainly a feel in there that Tiger was never a warm, fuzzy guy.
Yeah.
And even though he and Hank had developed a relationship, right, a working relationship, but he goes, I would go to Jupiter and Tiger, and I'd stay at his house, right, when we'd work for a week or something in off season, or when Tiger wasn't playing, and I'd be there for a week. And we go hit, and we do this, and we come back. And yet he kind of portrayed it as if I was literally staying in a hotel, and it wasn't, hey, buddy, how is it going? Let's go get a beer. It wasn't that. And he said I remember this, but kind of famously, that Tiger would get up while they're watching TV, and just the two of them, and he'd go get a, you know, ice cream bar or go get something. And he goes, he never once asked,
do you want one?
Hey,
yeah.
Do you want something? I'm getting a beer. Do you want a beer or whatever it might be?
Yeah.
Like you normally would do, right? You would do if I was sitting in your living room and you got up to get something, he'd never ask. And
I just look over and say, hey, Tim, grab me a Glenn Levitt while you're in there, would you?
No, he'd say, can you extend my straw a little bit longer?
My IV pole?
My bottle is wearing out. But that to me, and I think that Hank's point to that was, he wasn't raised that way, right? He was not raised. He was raised to be.
Well, he was an only child.
A very selfish guy. Not that they intended him to be selfish, but he was raised as a spoiled kid, right? He's a self. Yeah, there's only one.
Yeah.
His dad did all this. It was all about golf. You know? And he wasn't really raised as a guy who made those kind of gestures.
Well, I don't think he ever forgave Hank for that book.
Probably not. It portrayed him as probably who he was, right? Which wasn't flattering, but but that's who he was. And I think going back to how he could beat everybody, it's the plus and the minuses, right? You want to beat everybody and you want to have a cold, you know, steely mentality to do all that. It doesn't endear you. If somebody's going to write a book and says, well, what a wonderful guy. No, they're probably not going to come out that way. They're going to come out that you're cold and steely and somewhat self-centered.
Yeah.
And I think if you did a book on Jordan or Wayne Gretzky or other guys that are phenomenally beyond everybody else, you might hear the same kind of thing, because it's hard to do the things they do in a dominant kind of way and not be
when you're thinking of others all the time.
You know? Yeah. I mean, and that sounds bad, but I think Jordan's even acknowledged that. And some of these phenomenal players have even said, and his dad, Tiger's dad, even said, don't get married until you have to, you know, until go down the road, because you're going to have to now share your commitment to time and everything with the family. Don't do that until you think you have to, like, not right now. And so, because, you know, if I've got to share time, then it makes it a lot harder for me to hit balls and do all the things I have to do. To Scheffler's credit, he seems to have found a way to do both, because he seems like a phenomenal father,
husband, and a good guy
that everybody likes. And well, he's kicking everybody's butt.
Big family, sisters, you know, just, yeah. I mean, we've
having
met the whole family.
Having sisters probably helps.
Yeah, having sisters always helps. Yeah. And they were sweet. When we first met them, remember Randy called me over to the putting green at Augusta when Pam and I were there the first time Pam got to meet Scotty. I just waved and said hi, and he motioned, come on over, Randy Smith, Scotty's instructor.
Yep.
And he said, hey, Scotty, Frank Bassett, Golf Talk America. He said, hey, Frank. He came over and shook my hand, and he patted Pam on the hand and shook my wife's hand and said, just great to meet you, and laughed a little bit. Then he went on and proceeded to kick butt and win.
Yeah.
So,
you know, yeah.
That year.
Just a good guy. And I would think if you're in the midst of, and I wasn't, but if you're in the midst of Tiger in 2000 and 1 and 2 and 3 and all that, I don't know that he shook a lot of hands. I don't know that a lot of people came over or were being introduced and he took a minute to say hi to him. I don't think that was Tiger.
No, he didn't. No.
You know, I think you wouldn't even get somebody to go bring somebody over. Like his instructor, whoever happened to be Butch or Hank, would never go get somebody and say, hey, Tiger, I want you to meet. Because Tiger would look at Hank and go, hey, don't be bringing people over here. I'm putting. Right. I'm working.
Exactly.
That, I think, is, you know, the difference. And
well, so, I think, again, Randy's such a nice guy too. Randy Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, well, and he's a good friend of yours. I mean, you know each other well.
Yeah. So. I've known Randy for 100 years and a real good guy. And so I think it's just, I don't want to blame it or credit everything on parenting, but I think there's gotta be something.
Has a lot to do with it. You know? Okay. So anyway, happy birthday, Tiger. And we hope you have many more, and we hope you get better and
I'd
get
like
out
to
on the senior tour. See, I just slipped. The PGA Tour champions.
Like to see him play somewhere.
I'd love to see him play. Yeah. Anyway, moving on to LIV Golf for a moment before we try to get out of here. And just
what's going on with LIV? Something happened?
No, I don't think so. Not much of anything outside of they still got more money than God. But
still?
Yeah.
Although they're chewing through it pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah, they have chewed through
it $1 million
good.
A day or something.
Koepka is no longer on the LIV Golf Tour. Brooks Koepka, that was announced this week due to personal matters. And I don't really want to delve into all the rumors. So you and I have discussed that. And he just said it was a personal matter. And I don't know. I just don't want to dig into somebody's personal life like that. I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about it, Tim, or not.
Well,
but,
sure. So,
but it's not just a jump ship to the PGA Tour, at least that.
No.
And at so first glance, it doesn't look that way. Yeah, absolutely not.
Everybody knows. Limited schedule, right? They play 14 events, and they play the tournament at the end for the team championship and all that. But it's a limited schedule. Now, they get paid crazy money, but they don't have 42 events like the PGA Tour does. And certainly nobody plays 42 of them. But some guys will play 30-something events. Well, LIV doesn't play that many, but they play all over the world. First one coming up in January here in about a week will be Black Diamond Ranch tournament that they're playing. So they're playing here in the U.S., and then from there they go to Saudi Arabia, to Australia, to Hong Kong, and so on and so on. South Africa, Singapore, Mexico. So that's the LIV Tour, and that was kind of the start of it all. Excuse me. Sorry. Start of it all was, we're going to be international, right? We're not going to really just focus on the U.S. And so they attracted more players from around the world, but also sponsors and different things, because we are going to be a global, and they are. Well, that's a tough schedule, right? They don't play every week, but they play at least monthly. And that's a lot of travel. And Scotty and his wife, unfortunately, she had a miscarriage several weeks ago, back a few months. And that was very tough for both of them. And so I think they're from you what mean, Scotty you, said, I mean, from what
Brooks
said.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
not Scotty. Said, Scotty's wife did Scotty. Not have any problems.
Yeah,
they're all
yeah,
good.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that. Yeah. Brooks' wife had a miscarriage.
Yes.
And I think that he's just made a decision to do more for the family, to be around more, yeah. to not have to travel the globe to do all those things. So that's why there's things happening in their world that he said, I don't think I can keep the schedule. Now, what happens? People are going to say, well, but didn't he get 150 million? Yeah, he got something. He got a bunch. And most of those deals were over 3 years payout. So it might be 50 million a year. He won't get the next year's worth of money. He has to give some, I don't know exactly that, but something like that would happen. And I'm sure he's got plenty. And he said, okay, whatever we have to do financially, we have to do. And I'm going to have to stay home more. Now, the question becomes, well, does that mean he's going to try to play on the PGA Tour? The PGA Tour has set a list of things, already knowing that they've, for what now, Frank, 3 years, been negotiating with the LIV Tour to try to make something merger kind of happen. They did set some rules that knowing if some of these guys wanted to leave LIV, how would they get back in, right? Because you're not going to probably ask Brooks Koepka to go through Q school, right, or something like that. So how would they get back in to the PGA Tour? That's part of the process. Will he be able to do that? And will he play at some point this year? My gut tells me yes, that the PGA Tour would like to have him because he's still he's got four majors and you want him like in a bunch. So when he's on, right? And that also qualifies him for Ryder Cups and President's Cups and those things. So I think they're going to find a way to allow him back in. I don't think, you remember back in the day, Frank, when this was all coming down and Rory, of course, was a big part of this, that by God, if anybody wants to come back, they're going to have to pay us a lot of money to come. And I'm like, guys are not going to write you a check, Rory. I mean, you know, Phil Mickelson's not going to say, okay, what do you want? 50 million and I can come back and play on the PGA Tour. So they're not going to only get money for it, but help to get invites or something. Maybe he does that. And I think there's plenty of sponsors that'll be happy to invite Brooks Koepka to play in their tournament. So I think we will see him on the PGA Tour. And I don't know if that's a trickle, right? People are going to say, well, does that mean what's going to ROM? Some of these other guys going to come and I don't know. But maybe it's a unique situation for Brooks Koepka because of his personal situation that he feels I don't need to travel. Again, they don't travel every week around the world, but they travel quite a bit. For some of these guys, it might be exactly what they love, right? I mean, if you're John ROM, you might love playing in Europe and then Hong Kong and then Saudi Arabia. So if that's the problem, then you're not going to leave. I don't think it's about that his leaving had to do with the structure of the LIV Tour or the money that's being spent and they're trying to cut costs or anything like that. From everything, all the indications was it was kind of a personal thing for Brooks Koepka to do that and just to make his life a little bit and his wife's life, their family, a little bit simpler. So there you go. That's it. Yeah.
So we know that now. Horschel, in an interview just a couple of days ago, as a matter of fact, said he had changed his stance on any player coming back from LIV to the PGA Tour about the punishment and they're going to pay something and all that. He's thinking now let's get the band back together.
I would think that would be more. First of all, again, I mean, who's really going to give you $25 million or whatever they think they're going to get, right? And where does that go? To the PGA Tour? Well, that doesn't help the players. It goes to the guys in Pontevedra to have a big party or something. So, okay, I don't think that the writing the check is going to do it. But at the same time, I could see where some PGA Tour guys who said, hey, we didn't take the check, right? So I didn't go, Rory, to the LIV Tour. So now if a guy wants to come back in, something's got it. I mean, is he allowed to just walk back in the door?
The pathway is that right now that it would at minimum sit out a year. Well, Koepka, if that's the case, his deal was up August 25th. So Koepka could potentially play in PGA Tour fall events this season in 2026. Yeah. So, Billy, you know, Billy wasn't the only one to say that. You know, Horschel, he just thinks they should get the band back together, basically.
Well, I'll tell you what. The reason I like Billy Horschel is he doesn't have much of a filter.
And that's not in a bad way. No, that's
Billy
good.
Will say what he wants to say, right? A lot of other guys are a little bit too politically correct, and they hem and they haw, and they don't want to defend. And Billy's not trying to offend anybody, but he'll say what he thinks. And I like that about him. Media people love guys like that. That'll tell you, you know, that was a bad call on the coach's part. We should have gone for fourth down. You like those guys. And so I think Billy's saying, yeah, we want the best players on the PGA Tour. And if we're going to, and Brooks is going to be a guy, Frank, that think about this. If you're any other of the top 10 guys on the LIV Tour, you know, the John Rahms and the other guys that people are going to keep an eye on.
Bryson's very talented,
very good. How are we treating Billy? I mean, how are we going to treat Brooks? Those guys are going to look at and go, oh my God, you see that they put him through the ringer. I mean, he had to do this, he had to do that. He couldn't play there. He couldn't. If that happens, then they're not going to draw any of those guys back. I think they have to be somewhat accommodating to Brooks because, yes, the next guy that might say, okay, I agree that world golf thing, it gets to be much. And at some point, Frank, let's do both. You know, right? If LIV doesn't want to go away, then figure out a way that you can play on both tours, right? That you can play some PGA and you can go play in Singapore if you want to do that, or five other LIV Tour events. Yeah. Let them go do that. That's good for golf too, right?
Well,
because LIV Tour goes to places. Like their first tournament is in, you would know better than I do, it's in Lecanto, Florida. I have no idea where Black Diamond Ranch is. Where's Lecanto? Any idea?
It's Central Florida.
Okay. So that's a place that they don't play on the PGA Tour, right? At this course. And so you get exposure all over these. That's great for golf, right? So that's how they should be thinking in that boardroom when they're all trying to figure out how to band everybody together. I say just let them, allow them to play so many on this event at a tour and so many on that tour. And then you don't have the us or them kind of pushback about the whole thing. And if you're Bryson DeChambeau, you're like, great. So I can play here and here and here, but I can also play at the Byron Nelson. I can play in these tournaments in my backyard. Like a lot of these guys can play in California, Florida, Arizona, where they're
right.
That's cool. That's what I think I would hope would happen. And they would use Brooks as that example to say, okay, here's how it can happen. And if you're inclined to be, I'm making up a name here, but if you're inclined to be Justin Thomas and you want to play LIV Tour, why wouldn't you? It's a $4 million first prize, right? I mean, the money's big on LIV Tour. They're like the signature events every week. Go play there and make a bunch of money. That's cool, too, for those guys. So that's my 2 cents worth.
Well, there you go.
Let's see. I'm reading here about the for the LIV Tour. Yeah.
Well, Billy Horschel
also figured out a way to get
more people are going to bail out. He's already said that, too.
Yeah. So. Well, I think, and they're also figuring out a way to get Ryder Cup points and President's Cup points, right? So if you are that elite guy, and let's face it, I mean, the Bryson is the guy. He's their shining diamond, if you will.
That's the rumor. He's
the Saudi tour,
one.
Right?
Yeah.
He's their guy that everybody wants to see and loves watching. And he does his YouTube stuff, and 80 million people watch every video he shoots and everything else.
Right.
All right. Well, somehow he needs to be on Ryder Cup teams, right? He needs to be. Not only in the majors, but he does need to play on some PGA Tour events that are big, with the Players Championship or Pebble Beach or ones that are popular. And I want Bryson there, don't you? Don't we all want to see those?
Absolutely.
So, you know, it doesn't have to be. We don't have to go down 50 guys. And because I know if you go 50 deep at LIV, you and I are scratching our heads going, who's that guy? Right? They're not that deep. But they've got 20 guys that are pretty damn good golfers and pretty big names. And they got five that are really big names.
But they don't have any really new up-and-comers on the LIV Tour, and that's the problem, I think.
Well, you know, they've gotten some guys. Who'd they get? That one guy came right out of college. That was last year, and I'm trying to remember. But you're right. I don't know his name.
They don't have a lot, yeah. They
make the argument. But they have gotten a few guys that are like that had a choice, and they picked the LIV Tour before they kind of became established, right, out of All-American in college. But again,
can they leave LIV and go play on the PGA Tour since they never played on the PGA Tour before?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's the deal with that? You know, what are the rules here? And that's the age-old question.
What happens with those guys?
Dealt with.
Yeah, that you never played on the PGA Tour now. Yeah. And those guys that came, they certainly aren't going to write you a $4 million check. Yeah. Scrambling to pay my rent, right?
I don't know if it's that bad, but...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
It'll be interesting, but that is, that's kind of what's going on with LIV Tour. So we'll keep everybody informed.
Yeah.
The only place you're going to find out the inside, I think, is if you listen to Golf Talk America on a regular basis.
I would think so. If you don't, then
you're a loser.
I'm calling you a loser. I'm calling Santa Claus. We're going to do something. I'm going to turn your name into the IRS.
Yeah.
Whistleblower. Ooh. Sony Open in Hawaii, the week of January the 12th. That's where we start kicking it, folks. So be ready to listen to us dive into some real golf and not just sit here and do the Tim and Frank. We're sitting on the couch jawing, but we wanted to get something out there because we've been
Yeah.
Been kind of taking a vacation from Golf Talk America season, a little bit. Right?
There's not a lot of golf going on outside of Tiger playing with his buddies or inviting his buddies to play with him in the Bahamas and have Tiger watch.
Right.
By the way, just even during that tournament, right, during the Hero World Challenge that he does in Albany in the Bahamas.
Yes, in the Bahamas.
He went in the booth because he wasn't playing. He does a really good job. I mean, you can just tell, and it, I guess it was going to be natural, he's gotten mellower and mellower and more friendly, right? He wouldn't have been a good guy in the booth 25 years ago.
No.
He would have been cold and nobody, he would have answered or not given you much of any. He just wouldn't have been, but now he's engaging. He talks to the guys. He talks about the course. He tells a little joke about, and he played a practice round with this guy doing that.
That's the way you used to be when you were on TV 7 days a week. You know, you were that way. People come up in the restaurant and say hello to you, and you say, "Excuse me, leave me alone. I'm a celebrity."
Get the hell away from me.
Anyway,
I love
it. All right. Couple of thanks have to go out for this past year too. Big thanks to my equipment sponsor and apparel, PXG. Thank you, PXG, and Bob and Renee Parsons, Leela Brennan there at PXG. Brad, congratulations on your promotion to COO at PXG. Yep. And we look forward to spending some time with you guys in the 2026 year. And can't say anything about what's going to happen, but keep watching PXG.com, folks, because there's going to be some stuff that's going to hit that website you're really going to like.
Very cool.
PGA show happens in January. We'll be live down there. So that'll be another run for us. And also thanks to Invited Clubs. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, by the way, Frank, you may didn't even know this. 17,000 peak season employees are employed by Invited Clubs.
17,000 people?
A lot of people that they employ. They go all the way back to 1957.
Damn. That's a lot of Christmas cards we have to send next year.
That's right. As Club Corp, as we all know.
Sorry.
And they own or operate over 150 clubs around the country, city clubs as well as sports clubs and country clubs. 26 states, District of Columbia. Invited creates communities and a lifestyle through its championship golf courses, workspaces, handcrafted cuisine, resort-style pools, tennis facilities, golf lounges, you name it, Frank. They've got it at Invited Clubs. Go to invitedclubs.com and find one near you, and you'll be, just like Frank and I, so happy you'll tell the world.
Yep,
about how
absolutely.
Wonderful everybody is at Invited Clubs. There you go.
They really are. They really, really are. Yep. Great group
wonderful
of people. And they're based there in Dallas, Texas with you.
They are based there. And and they're always working. That's what's great about it, Frank. You know, there's a lot of different owners of clubs around the country and stuff and companies that own clubs. Invited is always, always determined to make their clubs better. So they're working on the bunkers and the greens and the clubhouse and the pool. They're always pumping money into it, which is what you like to hear. I have so many friends, and I'm sure you do, who are members of clubs who are the opposite. And they're like, oh my God, this place is falling apart. They don't do anything. They don't put any money back into it. They don't. And that drives you crazy. So it's nice when you see what they do at Invited Clubs, which is as much as they can, they're always trying to improve the courses and the clubs that they own. So that's wonderful.
Yes. And, and one thing they do very, very well is make their golf courses playable. So the family can enjoy it. That's a big thing Invited does too. It's still championship. You can back it on up and get after it. But they really do work hard to have a family atmosphere.
And Frank is now playing in front of the ladies' tees. So when he says that, he means it sincerely.
You mean after my second shot?
It's very playable for me hitting my 118-yard drive.
Yeah, I know. I've had a tough year, so hopefully I can get restarted, and I'll be out there in Dallas, and we'll go to
see our friend Steve Johnson.
I have too, a lot.
But I mean, it literally seems like it's one of those things that, you know, eyesight, you know, whatever. As you get older, sometimes things happen kind of quickly, right? And you're just like, man, I used to read the
what are those blue lights?
A computer, and then 6 months later, I can't even read it. It's like I feel that way. I feel like I've lost 10 yards per club in the last 6 or 7 months. Like it's just.
Go get fitted for PXGs.
I'm hitting the same shots, and I'm going, how did that end in the bunker? I didn't clear. It's just.
Well, it's depth perception, and your brain controls your body, and that's part of my problem too, is you really have to – it gets harder. The game gets harder as you get older.
That's the bottom line.
To quote Paul Stankowski, great PGA Tour player, golf is hard.
It's a hard game.
Golf is hard. That's all he says.
There'd be a lot more than 100 guys with their tour cards.
Yeah. Hey, and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and Happy New Year to all of our friends out there and the people who help us do this show.
Our regular guests, Steve and Paul and Lanny and all the different guys.
All the guys, yeah. Yeah. And Todd Lewis, our good friend from Golf Channel, Mark Zucchino. Yeah.
You know, we got to get out, Frank.
Who?
We got to go to our old friend.
Close friend, sounds like
our old friend in Washington, D.C.
Oh, Earl Forsey.
Earl.
How can you forget Earl? Earl Forsey, the voice, the host of PGA Tour Radio.
We kind of went through the whole football season without Earl, talking about his favorite Commanders.
It ain't over yet.
Well, it is kind of for them.
It is kind of for them.
But he'll have something to say.
Last night was an interesting game, too.
Thanks to all those guys.
With the Chargers playing. So.
Yeah. Mm.
But
all right,
the game of the millennium is coming up.
Oh, and it is.
It's coming up on the 1st, and it's the
Georgia game, or which game?
It's the primetime game, New Year's night.
Oh, Ole Miss.
Ole Miss and Georgia.
Yeah.
I think we're going to take them.
Get into that. We'll have to talk.
And we'll have to talk at another show about that. But the college football playoffs are well on a roll, let's say.
Yep.
If we get past Georgia, we get to play either Miami or Ohio State. Wahoo.
Right, and they play here at Jerry's nice little compound.
Yeah, Jerry World. Yeah,
on Wednesday. Wednesday they play tomorrow. So, and by the way, the Fighting Irish. Sorry, just not right. Should have been in.
Well, I know, but that's...
And they got to fix that system, because how do you let Tulane and everybody says nothing against them? Man, well, it is what it is.
James Madison.
Tulane is not at that level, and neither is
James Madison. Yeah,
James Madison. They're just not right.
They're not.
And Notre Dame was playing phenomenally well. They'd won 10 in a row, all by double digit, blah, 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 and everybody, and they'd get left out. Well, there's no way that Notre Dame...
Well, they have to fix this whole thing.
It's left
NCAA,
out
let's just dissolve the NCAA along with the Department of Education, and we'll be done. Get rid of the NCAA. I'm serious. They are just a mess. Anyway, that's another show.
Got to do something about it. So, okay. Gives us something to talk about next time.
I guess. I don't know. You know, is it time to start playing music or something?
I think it is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess
we got the band there. Can you strike up the band?
Get us out of here.
Get them going. There you go. Oh, look at Frank. They're right there. They live with Frank these
days. The band right here. Vince Gill on guitar.
He just gives them a point, and they start playing.
You better hurry.
All right. Yeah, really. I'm out of time. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And again, thanks to PXG and Invited Clubs. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We do appreciate it. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.